Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, fuckers. How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
This is the anti-slut shaming podcast. We've only been doing it for 5 years. I forgot what my line was. And it's been the same line for 5 years. So.
You having a stroke?
Hi, I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome.
Welcome, you guys. Oh, the news. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now, but we would like to take time to focus on a topic that possibly doesn't get enough attention, or maybe it gets too much. Guys, electric scooters and micromobility. Here's everything you need to know. The rise of micromobility companies, this is a Forbes article, has been well documented over the last few years with companies like Ofo and Mobobike in China and Citibike and Jump Bikes in the US providing consumers with convenient options for last minute transportation. All the companies have gone on to raise venture capital or be acquired, showcasing both the consumer and investor demand for last minute transportation solutions because we're lazy fucks in America and all over the world apparently. And also sometimes you just want to get stoned and ride a fucking scooter. There's a lot of companies, additional e-scooter companies hitting the market, guys. We're about to get inundated. You think your city's fucked up now with all the scooting? It's about to get worse. Additional e-scooter companies from all over the world. They include, these are the names of the companies. Skip, Spin, Scoot.
Skip and Spin are terrible names.
You're telling me. Pop Scoot, Beam, that's an STI app, sir. Tier Mobility, Wind Mobility. Was that scooter got a sale on it? Voy Technology, Vogo, Dot, and Flash all recently announced large capital raises. In Europe alone, 5 e-scooter companies have emerged and raised over $150 million in capital. Since the start of 2018, I'm like, you guys, this money could be going to better places.
Yeah, I would name my scooter company Dork.
I would name mine, I'm a loser on a scooter. Although, full disclosure, actually, no, I haven't ridden the scooters. I have expressed interest in riding them in my head.
Mine would be called Unfuckable.
Do cities need electronic scooters? Mega cities worldwide are facing an epidemic of congestion and pollution caused by rapid urbanization that is increasing gridlock and putting severe pressure on public transportation systems.
I'm just naming other scooter companies that I'm starting.
Yeah, no, this is good. 46% of car traffic in the U.S. is caused by cars on trips less than 3 miles, and micromobility solutions could help alleviate the significant portion of last minute gridlock. I still don't want to fuck you if you're riding a scooter though. So yeah, just guys, the scooter craze is getting out of hand. People are dying on these scooters. They're just trying to scoot to work, but Todd didn't bring his helmet, and then all of a sudden he has a head injury and he can't remember his daughter's name. So it's like, are these things worth it? They're crowding up. They're not in New York.
I got
a
DUI. That's another good name for it.
And it's just, you have every helmet is like a flag, has a flag on it. That's like, I got a, it says, I got a DUI. No, this guy got a DUI and it's an arrow pointing down. That's really funny. Because what are other reasons you'd ride a scooter? You just want to feel the breeze on your hair?
I guess if you're really into the environment.
Oh, yeah.
Although I watched an episode of Adam, you know what? I watched an episode of Adam Ruins Everything.
He does ruin everything.
And basically, like if you have a car and like trading it in for an electric car or like not using it is worse for the environment.
What the
trade in definitely is, because the thing is like yes, electronic cars are better for the environment when they are on the road, but to make the energy, we forget about the energy that's used to produce things. So the energy used to produce that car that is then better for the world, it is worse than just keeping the car you already had and driving that.
We can't win.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and also most, like a lot of, and that's like, well, for a lot of like green energy, like, so a lot of people like are like throwing out just like, you know, boxes and boxes of pre-existing plastic straws. But for me, like, I'm like, okay, I'm using the straws I have left and I'm not going to buy any more. I bought a metal straw, but I'm going to finish off the ones I have.
Well, yeah.
Because otherwise I'm just throwing them away.
Right. You might as well sip something through, suck something through it.
Exactly.
I'm going to name my scooter company, I Just Can't Win. Okay, so, you know, be careful when you're out there scooting because you can lose a tooth. You're just trying to save the environment and then it just goes awry. And also come see us live, guys. We're going to be the only tour date we have to promote at this moment in time is in Indianapolis. We're going to be at Helium Thursday, April 18th through Saturday the 20th, 4:20. Go to sorryaboutlastnight.com/tours for all other dates.
Those tickets are up. And this is the episode airing on 2:15, correct?
Yes.
So then LA dates we can do too. My LA date, I guess, is Monday, February 25th. I'll be in Los Angeles. And again, we have to record a bunch of these episodes ahead of time. So just look to my social media for where and when those shows are going to be on February 25th. But I'm like, I'm guessing that they're at night. They're definitely in LA or the LA area. Probably like LA proper.
Yeah.
Because that's where I'm going to be. So unless they're sending me a fucking Lyft, that's where the shoot's happening.
Just a scooter pulls up.
Oh my God.
A guy on a scooter carrying a scooter over his shoulders.
Smells like tequila.
You're right. His name's Steve. And he has a Hawaiian shirt on. It says 5 o'clock somewhere.
Oh, that would sound kind of fun.
Actually, that's a good name for a scooter company.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
And it comes with a margarita.
But I won't be there until 7 because I'm on a scooter. And then please listen to Two Less Lonely Girls out every Monday. Short episodes. We have lots of fun content coming with me and Rosebud Baker.
And if you're in New York City on Saturday, February 23rd, Glamour Puss is happening. It's my birthday show. I'm very excited. 7:30 p.m. at Zinc Bar, which is a very, very dear venue to my heart. It's a historical jazz venue, 82 West 3rd Street. Myself and Wendy Starling co-host, as always, with Nina and Simone. You'll get that if you go. And tickets are $15, 21 and up. Click the link in this description and then do it. And I already went to LA. I hope it was great. I hope nothing bad happened because uncomfortable if I like lost a leg and then I'm just like, LA was great. And you know, that's what happens when
that's
you
That's a weird
the
place to lose a leg because I feel like the only, like, it's like
what happened?
What were you getting? Like cosmetic knee surgery?
No, I think now that I'm a surfer now. So I think I could get bitten by a shark. Yeah, I'm going to surf in LA.
Okay.
I am going to surf.
Okay.
But it might injure me. I'm trying to trace adrenaline and activities and not men.
Oh, and you don't have health insurance.
People are yelling at me for that. I'm like, you guys.
Why are they yelling at you? But it's not because you just missed the deadline.
I missed it.
That's why.
Well, I mean, that's fucking bad, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'll deal with it. I'm fine. Well, unless I'm not. Oh. And you find that out later.
But I mean, you know, you just pay for it out of pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens.
I got to go to the doctor, man. Mm-hmm. Just to go. I got to get like a blood work or something. I got an STI test. That was cool.
You can go and just get a checkup at like some kind of an urgent care. Like if you just go, it'll be like, hey, can you do my blood pressure? Take this, whatever. Do my vitals. And it'll be like $250, $300.
Yeah. You know, last time I got a physical, the doctor felt my boob. And then I realized that was wrong after I left.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure that doesn't happen on my watch again.
There's also something called like, oh God, I used to be on it. It's called like something one, like one emblem. I can look at my emails, but you just pay kind of like almost like a membership fee and go. And you
to where?
And not health insurance. They have different offices, but it's like a step up from urgent care.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I would like to try that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, cool.
Well, now that we have your healthcare plan underway publicly.
Oh man, guys, I'm about to get checked up.
Seems like you're avoiding talking about something.
No. I'm trying to figure out how to articulate it. Because last week on the intro, you talked about a person you were seeing, and it's weird.
Yeah, that could be over by now.
I know. That's why I love recording all in bulk the intros. We usually don't, but this month we're traveling.
Oh, I'll be bummed.
Because it's like, what's going to happen? And then you listen to how much hope you had in your voice. That's what I do.
It's a time capsule of hope.
This relationship's going to last forever.
Yep.
Oh, you fucking dumb Christina.
I don't listen back because I'm just like, yeah, who knows?
Well, so some, you know, we talk about like fucking fans. We've talked about that before. Like fucking people who try to come up to you after your shows. And there have been like, and I'm not trying to encourage this, but maybe I don't know. There have been some guys that have messaged me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I do check my Instagram DMs and my other box because people send me Fuckboy Friday.
Oh, but those aren't people who came up to shows. There are people who are like, yeah, exactly.
No.
I was like, what?
Whatever. Well, this one guy's a girl. But they're like hot. Mm-hmm. I noticed this one guy, his profile picture was like a dog. So I was like, you couldn't even tell what he looked like. And I looked and I was like, yo, this guy's hot as fuck.
If you're hot and you have a dog avatar, you're living life crazily.
And he does jiu-jitsu and shit. And I just, mm-hmm. I'm like, yummy. And then he'll like, just respond. But then there's this guy. I kind of want to show you a picture of him. And I hope this isn't, that's why I was telling you earlier before I would press the record button if I'm crossing a moral boundary here. Because
I'm interested now. This is not the direction I thought I was going in.
There's this model guy. And this is where it gets tricky of me disclosing this stuff. Because I don't know, I guess this person listens to pot. Maybe he doesn't. I have no idea. I commented on his Instagram once because he was just hot. And I was like, you are so hot. And then he started following me and like sending me pictures of himself mm-hmm. in the shower. He's a model. He's a professional model. And he sends me like pictures of his dick. And I'm like, this guy doesn't look that all like, so the message he sent me.
Oh no. So he didn't look that old? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And he sent me a photo of, I don't know, it was him in the shower or something. And I feel like he looks young. He looks here. Let me show you a picture.
Let me see that dick, I'll tell you.
That's a spring chicken dick. This is him.
Oh, I mean, he's not so, I can tell, he's not so young that there should be a problem
if
where you're scared.
If he was 18, though, I wouldn't be shocked. That's what I'm saying. And I, you know me, I'm not attracted to youth.
He looks older than 18.
Well, he's 23.
See, there
so he's
you
not
go.
That much older, but whatever.
18 That's just, and 23 is a huge difference in like life and how
totally,
you're going
to
act, though.
Totally, but 23 to me. 23 me.
That's the guy I was talking about a couple weeks ago. Was 1995, 23.
Oh
right?
My God! If you're 23, you're born in 95. That's
23
so
was a 24. I can't do math that fast.
I've Emily, never. She didn't even have to look at a fucking calculator. Oh God!
So why we? This is why we pay people to do math, because we're not good at it.
And then he like so I talking about this. I hope he doesn't listen. I don't think he does. He's like, "Where you at? I want to quit this IG shit and just come pull my dick out for you in real life."
But this is why I like the youngins on Hinge, because the young
aggressive.
Guys are a lot more aggressive and they care a lot more about stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've never had an older guy be this aggressive, and I'm like, finally. But
well, you can wait for them to be, you can find one who is, but then that's how you have 4 year lapses when you don't have relationships.
Yeah, to keep you busy, keep your mind at ease.
Yeah.
I thought you liked that, but oh, you only answer when I send you a pic of my cock, LOL, and which is true. And then he's like,
"Gotta
he's,
teach him young,"
goes, which is fine. I'm down, but fuck the virtual shit. And then I was like, "Haha, fair." And then he said, "Well, I just got back to my spot in the place he lives. Would love to link up. Would love to have an orgasm with you." I'm like, "Wow, 23-year-olds are really like." Mm-hmm. That's a very nice way to articulate. And then he sent me a photo, and I haven't.
And I like
at
that
yet.
He was complaining that you were only caring about his dick. Like, how refreshing to have those gender roles
yeah.
reversed.
And I'm like, yeah, maybe you're a little piece of meat, guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say little guy. That sounds weird.
Hey, little
but then
boy.
He sent me the. I just wanted to look at this. Ooh, oh,
that's not a good one, Christina. She literally opens it up, and it's just like this flaccid penis laying on his own stomach.
Oh, I should write back. Wah, wah. I don't know. It's just weird. It's just weird. This is the first time I've ever even like considered entertaining somebody in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
In 23. That's so young.
Yeah. I mean, I'd fuck a 23-year-old if they were bringing it, but I wouldn't. I mean,
totally.
I'm gonna warn you now. Don't even think about dating this person. Seriously.
Dating him? Ew, no.
I know, but
no.
You can get wrapped into stuff sometimes.
I know.
So I'm giving you a warning
and
here.
And I say that I'm comfortable and confident and I can just have a casual sex relationship, but maybe I can't.
I really try to let people live their lives without me stepping in, but I gotta say something right now.
Oh, yeah, no. No, I appreciate it. Say something right away. I mean, if I'm dating someone that I'm like on cloud nine, honestly, this is how I want to know. But
I think that we have really different tastes in men, though, because I would say no to anyone you've ever picked so far.
Right, but but that's important information.
But that's not
so
my place.
But but for reasons, here's where I want to know. I don't care if you think they're hot or not.
No,
think
it's not, no.
Like,
oh no, personality I'm talking about. I would have a hard veto on all. But again, you like different things.
But also, track record, not great. So you're not wrong, Corinne. And I'm not offended by that. Like, Melissa had a long talk with me in the Mexican jungle about my choices.
I think Melissa and I have, like, we have a lot of similar qualities in, like, our
and I didn't
aggressive
have,
nature.
You do, but I didn't have this twinge of, like, you're just jealous because I'm getting all this dick or whatever. Like,
right.
You know, the whole thing why you wouldn't say that in the beginning and wait for them to learn. I'd rather someone say it and not learn. Because let me tell you something. I don't got a lot of time left in this world. I got maybe a good 40 more years.
The language really does change as a woman when you get past that 2-9, you know?
Just tell me if they're a loser because I can't see it right away.
Okay, well, because I'm
Please.
Also...
I'm not going to date this guy.
I realize I'm a Debbie Downer, and I'm really sensitive to it, not about it. I'm sensitive to it because, you know, you've commented, like, wow, you really are... like you have a glass half full thoughts, but you never like bum other people out. And I was like, yeah, no, I keep that to myself.
Right, right.
Because so I really try to be careful about putting like the negativity to other people, even though in my head I'm like, well, this is going to end terribly.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, but I know your judgment a little bit better than most people. So I know your track record when you have a bad feeling about something.
I mean, like, but I'm exing people for crazy reasons, like you're wearing a fashion scarf
or riding a scooter. Or both. Run, bitch.
That's also dangerous because if it's a little long, I could get caught in a tire.
Oh, see, that's another way you could die on a scooter.
There's an old Hollywood actress who was wearing a really, really long, glamorous scarf, and she was riding in a convertible, and caught in the tire, and she died.
Oh,
see, it's like the kind of like
that
like,
thing you could keep to yourself.
Like,
but
to me, that's a cocktail anecdote, and then I was like, oh, I understand why some people might not be.
See, I think it's might not be like tale.
I can't wait to get my dick inside.
Her pussy must be a coffin.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd really just rather, I want an honesty policy from here on out. If I mean, unless it makes the person my friend uncomfortable. But I asked Melissa this too. Please tell me if I'm dating a fucking wackadoo.
Okay.
Because I am so sick of wasting my goddamn time. And I really do love so much.
Yeah.
And it's,
you're a fan of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to it, and I chase the highest highs all the time. That's why I'm trying to get into surfing, so I can chase adrenaline and not men, but it's still gonna happen. But yeah, if I'm dating a loser, just tell me. Or lose whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
well if there's any red flags, you know, I'll call.
I'm not gonna get offended. I'm gonna get paranoid every time you cough. No, I won't get offended, because I know that I don't have a good radar. And I'm trying to develop it, but your girl's a little creaky.
Has anyone given you tips on how to sharpen those tools?
Yeah, the thing is, I got to listen to the instincts when they come up and go, you know, if I have, like, you know, if a guy you're seeing makes out with a famous comedian in front of you at a party, that's a red flag.
But even there, I had a conversation with you about it, and then you still didn't
do
what I said.
Right, exactly. But I felt like...
So at least you knew I was right.
And that's something.
Recognizing it. Recognizing that someone is right and still doing it. Okay. So the
that's at least something.
The 48-year-old dude from a while back that I was dating, which is confusing.
Sometimes
because
you gotta run into the flames.
Because everyone I date is that age. But it's like my sweet spot. But he, like, yeah, exactly. Like, I knew that that was not good. And people tell me it was not good. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I know that. I'm just doing that because this is what I want to do right now.
Yeah, and that's fine. You want to play on the playground?
I wasn't gonna marry him.
Yeah. You know, play on the playground with all the used condoms hanging around.
Yeah, abs and a great dick.
And you should you...
And a car.
...deprive yourself of that? No, I don't think so. I think it's great qualities in a person for sexual ventures.
Yeah.
Just tell me if I'm dating them.
Yeah, because I'm trying to sharpen my tools too, but for some things, like, I feel like... Because I was trying to think of ways that the podcast has helped, not harmed me. And it's given me a lot of... exposure to trauma, what it looks like in other people, and how to handle it. And so then going out into the world as one of the few people who did not experience childhood trauma, it, number one, gives me the heads up that pretty much anyone I come across is going to have had it. So I just have to be ready for it, and like how to handle it better.
And how it can surface inequality. Like, my anxiety is a result of that.
Right.
You know?
So I think those things are helpful. And also, like, how to not look on it, you know, upon it as a weakness, or and how deeply it does affect many people into their adult lives.
Because people with the traumatic thing probably already look at it as a weakness, and it's not. It's
right. Geez. I mean, it's not like I'm telling people it is, but it's just, you know, sometimes, how many times can you hear a story about being fat and getting pushed into a pool when you're 8, you know? I don't know.
How are you?
I'm fine. The one thing I wanted to talk about this, because it gave me a list, just exciting, or news, that something that made me happy on the internet a couple weeks ago, was after we did the R. Kelly, you know, for 2 weeks in a row, we talked about the R. Kelly documentary. And I tweeted some stuff about it. I tweeted photos of some of the women who are still under the reign of R. Kelly, I guess what we'll call it. And Azriel Clary's dad actually tweeted back at me thanking us for talking about it and getting the message out there, which was, I mean, I didn't,
wow.
And I didn't at him, or like, I guess he's following different hashtags, like the mute heart R. Kelly hashtag he must be following. And I just thought it was, and he doesn't have a lot of followers himself. And I just was like, it was really sweet that he had the time. You know, he has way more on his plate than almost anyone I know. And to take the time and respond. And
I'm sure he appreciates the shift that is finally happening.
Yeah.
That needed to happen so long ago towards R. Kelly.
Yeah. And he's just so appreciative. And you know, he's still actively on the case trying to get his daughter home. Yeah. And so anything, like, and if you think you're like, you know, one person with only has 100 followers, like, people really do appreciate it. And you never know who's going to see it, you know.
Yeah.
Just because you have 100 followers doesn't mean that one person isn't going to, you know, serendipitously walk by Azriel Clary one time and, like, yeah, be the person who has the courage to be like, hey, girl. Or, you know, you never know, like, what moment someone's going to be at in their life. Because you can hear the same thing. You can hear the same thing 99 times, but yeah, sometimes when you hear it the 100th time, it breaks through.
Oh,
I just redid the Lady Gaga statement.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what she said about.
Well, no, she's him. No, she. Well,
she's like, whoops.
It was an inside joke because, you know, she's doing all the press for whatever the Star Is Born.
Yeah.
And in almost every press conference, that's she's talking about what's his name?
R. Kelly?
Bradley
Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
And she keeps saying, you know, there can be 100 people in a room and 99 don't believe in you, but all it takes is that one who does. She said that so many times that people made montages of her saying it.
Oh, that's funny.
So anytime someone tells me something serious now, I take a pause and I go, well, you know. And it takes them a while to figure out what I'm saying. I did a really good one on Rose, but I was really proud of myself. Because you think something amazing is going to come out of my mouth and it's not just garbage.
Yeah.
It's real trash.
Just a regurgitated quote.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's fun. But yeah, that's it.
Good. Buy our book in paperback.
Oh yeah, we really should have been saying stuff about that.
Yeah. Fucked, being sexually explored and self-confident in a world that's screwed is now available in paperback form. Go on Amazon, anywhere books are sold. Just buy it if you want to. It's great. It's got a new cover and we wrote new pages about our breakups and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to make too big of a deal about it because I'm hoping no one notices. But, you know, people are obviously going to read it, so you'll figure it out.
You're hoping no one notices the pages you wrote?
Yeah, but even though it's just, you know, you let out some information that you don't talk about or you don't tell the other person about and not out of malice, but I don't know. It's a weird career we have.
Well, yeah, and, you know, guy, books, man, life. They're weird. I know why people transitioned to online articles that are factually inaccurate because let me tell you, when you write something in a book and then you want to retract some things that you said.
You can't.
I mean, what am I supposed to do?
I retracted something from the dedication, but that was it.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, like, once it goes to press, like this one, because even my things that I wrote about James, like, you know, my feelings, you know, had changed. And there was a part when I was like, okay, freedom. And then there was a part where I'm like, oh no, I'll never love again. And then like a couple weeks ago, I was like, I'll never love again. And now maybe I'm like, oh no, you like people can be nice to you. And not that he was not nice to me, but like, I think there's,
it can go well and smoothly. And
I can accept more love.
Yeah. You know, accept maybe. More love, Corinne.
I don't know. We're working on it. Anyway, this week's guest, she's a longtime friend of ours, a comedian that we've known for many years. So talented. One of my favorites to watch. Her debut album, Undefeated, comes out March 8th, and it's available for pre-order now. We'll put the link in the description. Please welcome to the show, Kara Clank. Welcome in on to the new age. Thought I'd be something you know. Wandering off to the new day. Thought I'd be something you want. Killing them every way possible. You got the obstacles you can control. Feeling about every way possible. Making your name known and now you gon' blow. Brought up on the end and now we done made it. Become what they wanna see, what they gon' hate. Finding your way, climbing the safe. Nah, iceberg, we slay. Remind me again. Who fucking with the no out of the best. Just riding your bitch. Okay, we are here with Kara Clank.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I love that unison.
Of course.
Greeting.
We were just talking about how sexy the winter is.
Yeah.
Dry mouth so from sexual. The heat that you can't control.
Your nose is chapped.
Yeah.
Just like
you actually have a really good sexy voice.
You do.
You never hear it until you like close your eyes and then hear someone in the headphones and you're like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, I have like a deep voice, but I also am just like, I had a cold a few days ago that I'm totally over now, but I'm having residual. Like, residual Rachel Ray, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. A lot of guys I know are very sexually attracted to Rachel Ray.
Really?
My brother.
It's her voice.
My brother's in love. And she cooks a lot.
That's true.
My brother's in love with Rachel Ray.
My first boyfriend was, yeah.
Wow.
Like good food, hearty food. I feel like she's like the queen of that.
Yeah, she probably gives a lot of Midwestern guys a big boner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
They're like, she'd make me chili before the game and then like give me an HJ. Like, you know.
Right? Yeah, because she seems
like
a little kinky.
She would call it an HJ,
yeah,
too.
And yeah, she also
be like,
is,
I don't want to be crass.
Yeah, like she comes off as like a little bit sweet, but then you think, I think she's like has like a little bit of a bitchy side that comes out sometimes.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
That would like be it. Awesome.
I also like that garbage bowl that she marketed because it's literally just a bowl, but then she called it a garbage bowl. Like you have it on when you're cooking to put like scraps in of like, you know, rinds or skin.
So it's just like your garbage can.
It's literally just a bowl, but it seems special. And so she marketed that and makes money off of it. And I was like, that's a bitch I need to be around.
Shit.
Good. She marketed.
She marketed a bowl.
Yeah, but it's a garbage bowl
for garbage. You and you could have just moved your garbage can over your counter,
or you could have taken a bowl out of your cabinet
and thrown garbage in it.
Wow. Any other bowl that you have?
Because I do that. Like I make those like HelloFresh meals and stuff.
Oh
like,
yeah.
And like I use the bag as like my garbage bag, and then like everything that I don't use, and then I, you know, stick it all in the garbage. So. Shit.
That maybe wouldn't happen to Rachel bag. Ray's kitchen.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to fucking come out with a competing product.
Rachel Ray's like, bag. I bet I can get these bitches to pay for a bowl and convince them that it's for garbage. See, the mind is a crazy thing.
I was just, I was on a show last night where Mateo Lane was doing a bit about how Rachel Ray will never go away because she's one of Oprah's horcruxes, which I thought was really
Dr.
funny.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Oz, too. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I, and Gail, Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, like, there's all these people she created and they're never going away.
Yeah.
And then people were like, I thought she was canceled after she killed all those dogs with her dog food, and I was like, she did.
Oh
my god, she had like a bad dog food. But I think Ellen DeGeneres had a bad dog food too.
Ellen DeGeneres had a dog food.
Yeah,
Ellen DeGeneres also has a line of a long time ago, years that aren't great, and they say like smile and joy.
What kind of bag? Like tote bags?
Hopefully
a step up from tote bags, but not nice enough to be like your all the time purse.
Wow,
and it's like just dance it off, like that kind of like
that kind of vibe, and I did not like it.
Yeah, no, I don't.
People are not getting one. People are so mesmerized by celebrities, myself included.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm have you ever been around a celebrity and you're like, I'm kissing your ass and I don't want to be, but I am.
Yeah.
It's sure. It's weird. It's this weird power. has that ever happened?
Well, I mean, I've been around a lot of celebrities before, and I try to like play it cool, and then sometimes, you know, you feel like you're playing it too cool, or you're like,
you're kind of
whatever,
being
Glenn
to them.
Close.
Yeah. While you're being rude.
Yeah, I've been rude.
And my husband has a whole story about how he was really rude to Ben Stiller once because he was trying to be so cool that he actually ended up being a real dick to him. And he regrets it. So just be cool to celebs, guys.
It's hard because you're trying so hard to be normal that you're acting like an alien.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well.
We were talking about this earlier where we were recording an intro for one of the episodes about sex ed and how a lot of...
The TV show or the concept?
The concept, like sex ed in public schools, and how a lot of them don't teach about female orgasm. Most of them don't even mention that females can have an orgasm.
Oh, yeah, no.
A lot of them are absence only, and a lot of them are not legally obligated to present factual information. What was your sex ed?
I honestly... like, don't remember. This is funny because I was just watching that show, Sex Education.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of
on
people
Netflix.
Been tweeting it at me.
And I was like, and they were in a sex ed class, and they're doing that classic scene of like putting the condom on the banana. Mm-hmm. And I was like telling my husband, I was like, I never did this.
Yeah,
like,
me either.
I never touched a condom like until you know, I had
you
to
put
use
it on a
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like I remember when I was growing up, like, I think I'm a few years older than you guys, but like AIDS was like the hugest thing in our sex education. It was just like AIDS, like don't touch anyone or you're going to get AIDS.
Oh,
like,
God.
So that was like a huge thing in my young, like, sex ed. I remember like a lot of stuff about AIDS. Like, we never learned anything about like pregnancy. Like,
oh my God.
I just didn't learn a lot about that. And I went to like good public schools in Connecticut. But
wow.
I mean, I think that's why, because they're like, we don't talk about that in Connecticut. You know, like, we just like didn't get that.
Shit.
Yeah.
Mumsy will talk to you about it at home, and then
you'll
Mumsy
figure
never
it
does.
Out. Yeah.
Shit. Did they preach abstinence or push it at all? Or
I mean, my mother preached abstinence.
Really?
My mom was like, don't have sex till you get married. And I was like, did you do that? And she was like, let's change the subject. Like, she definitely had sex before she was married, but pushed us to do that. But yeah, in school, I'm like trying to remember. We had like life skills, right? So like there would be all kinds of different things in life skills, but sex education was like really backseat. I don't remember seeing. Maybe I remember seeing a couple of biological photos of like the inside.
Scrotum.
You know, like, you know when they like slice the body in half and they're like, here's the ovaries and like here's the scrotum and the dick and everything.
And like that part you kind of don't even need to know at all.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't need to know like what comes out of what
it's
hole.
It's good to get
really.
Heads up on the balls, the fact that they exist.
That they're there. Well, I also had little brothers, so I knew about the male anatomy a lot.
Oh.
From giving them baths.
Oh.
When you said from giving them, and I was like, where is this sentence going to end
like,
up?
You know, because like I'm 7 and 9 years older than my brothers, so I would like, you know, they were like little nuggets, and I would just like, and then I'm like, I have cousins that are British and were uncircumcised, and I was like, Mom, what is wrong with their dicks? Like, because they look different than my brothers who are right. circumcised.
That's
I was like,
so funny.
What is going on? So that's how I learned about that.
It's so weird. I have a nephew and he's 3, and I would have to like take him to the bathroom a couple times. You know, I don't see him as often as I would like to. I've never given him a bath, but you know, he can't wipe himself. Mm-hmm. And I always feel just uncomfortable.
Oh,
because I don't want, I act as if, I feel bad because I feel like I'm making him feel bad that I'm acting weird because he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sorry, if you just want to, I mean, you do it.
Do you want to like add shame to like the whole area?
Yeah, and I just don't, I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable and I can't.
I was just telling someone a story about how I used to babysit for this kid, and his mom was like, he was like 5, and his mom was like, he wets the bed, but he won't put a diaper on before bed. He's like embarrassed. So could you wait till he falls asleep and then put a diaper on him?
Whoa.
And I was like, okay. So I would do that. This happened. This was like every time I babysat for him.
How old is this kid?
5. Like 5.
He's got a lot of pride for a 5-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. So he won't put the diaper on. So I would have to go and like slip into his room. I mean, on a Nest cam, this would look very creepy. And like, I would just like slip the diaper under, but then a lot of times he would have a little boner, and then I would have to take the diaper, and I didn't want to touch the boner, so like with my hand,
my God.
So I would like have the diaper, and I'd be trying to take the top part of the diaper and like smush it down so that his little boner wasn't like facing up at his own eyes or whatever.
Oh yeah, because you can break that penis.
Yeah, didn't want to break his dick. So
wow, yeah.
It was a pretty fun experience for $5 an hour, you know.
$5?
probably 7. I don't know. I was really young. This was like when I was 12.
Oh, got it. It's that one of those. We'll give you a
quarter. Because like I know this kid now, and he's like,
he's hot. Is he
like,
a babe?
He like lives in the city.
Uncomfortable.
Do you guys like need a lawyer?
Honestly, I'm open to anything.
We heard about your baby boner.
We heard about your pride and your baby boner, and we are interested.
You've been getting hard since 1989. I'm interested.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you're pregnant now.
Yes.
Just want to tell everyone. I think that's. I'm fascinated by this. How do you feel? What's going on inside?
I feel really good. I'm 7 months and 1 week pregnant, and. I don't like to do the weeks. I feel like it makes people do unnecessary math. And I feel great. I really feel like I feel lucky, like I'm having a very pretty easy pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I hear horror stories from friends that are like, I threw up the whole time. I felt terrible.
Yeah.
You know, Amy Schumer, I follow.
I was just going to say.
Like, Amy and I think are like on the same pretty much trajectory. Like our due dates must be very close.
She's not having the
best
time.
She's having a terrible time.
Yeah.
I like when I see stuff like that, I feel like I'm hashtag blessed. It's been going pretty well for me, which people say is a sign of a boy. And I'm like, I hate that.
Really?
I'm like, well, yeah, because it's like hard to have a girl. Girls like take your beauty. There's like all this bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
There's all these like bullshit old wives' tales that like if you look like shit and you feel like shit, you're having a girl.
But this is why women don't support other women.
Yeah.
It's like,
we're anti-feminist out of the gate.
Yeah. That bitch in your belly is going to fuck you up your face.
And then you're going to have a competitive relationship with your daughter forever.
Who's going to be hotter?
Yeah. We're not finding out the sex. So I don't know what I'm having.
My brother did that. I think that's a nice little surprise.
It is. There's like no surprises.
Now, were you both on board for that? Because my brother and his partner at the time, she was like, but I want to know. And he was like, but I don't. You were both, you don't want to know.
Yeah, we were both like, that'll be fun. Let's just do it. And now that it's getting closer, I'm like, God, I kind of just want to fucking know. But he's like, nope, we agreed. And I'm like, yeah, of course. I'm not going to find out.
Because knowing I would imagine you make all these preconceived notions about who the kid's going to be, right? I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just really feel like, does it matter? Is it really going to change your life that much if you find out it's a boy or it's a girl? Like, we're not decorating a nursery blue or pink or anything like that anyway. So,
yeah.
I know. So I was thinking about that the other day because some people are so, and a lot of times you will have moms, and I hear more often than not, like, oh, I hope my first kid is a boy, because people have this like family structure that they want where like the boy's going to be older and like then they're going to have a girl and that's going to protect the girl or something. It's very strange.
That's really interesting because I'm the oldest of 6 kids, so I've always thought I wanted to have a girl first.
I'm the older one too.
Yeah, I did so much for my mom that I was like, oh, the older girls like help you and like, you know, like
if you're smart,
in your house.
You just want all girls.
Yeah, exactly. Get a little army of helpful women. That's what I'm aiming for.
So many emails.
But but obviously I'm fine with whatever. I just, we're both kind of like, let's see what happens.
Cool.
We'll know in 2 months.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
We have been married for 3.5 years.
Okay, cool. So you have, that's, I feel like, and how long have you been together total?
Okay, so we got together in 2010, so we've been together for 8 years, but we broke up for 6 months after a year. But we don't really count that anymore.
Okay,
yes, because we're like, we used to be like, we're together like 2 years, but for 6 months we were broken up. But now it's like so long that like, who cares? But I like that we got married at 5 years. We were married for like 3 before we got pregnant. And I think it'll be nice that we had like some married time before.
It's time to yourself.
Yeah, we had a nice 3 years of like not having a kid.
Yeah.
And was it completely planned, or was it like
very planned?
Okay.
Yeah,
because I'm always interested in that. And like, so what is the planning process for deciding like you want to have a kid go?
Oh my god.
Or what does it look like for you?
It's like, so I mean, everybody says this, and but like I was like, we're gonna start trying and then we'll just be pregnant immediately. And like, I actually did get pregnant pretty quickly. I had a miscarriage, and then I got pregnant again pretty quickly, had another one.
Oh wow.
And then I got pregnant immediately after that and had this one. So like, I'm really open about that because I feel like everyone should be more open about miscarriages.
Such a common thing.
Yeah. So common.
How did it make you feel though?
Well, the first one was literally, sorry, I just don't wanna have like gross phlegm voice. The first one, I was like a week pregnant. So it was like, I had 2 days where I thought I was pregnant. And then like, you basically just get like a heavy period and it's like,
oh,
it's
really? Not, okay. And that's how you
it's
know.
It's not viable. Yeah. The second one was farther along. So I did have to get like a procedure, which was a pain. I mean, not like traumatic for me, but traumatic for some. Like, I don't judge if it's traumatic for people.
Yeah.
Just like the procedure to was annoying.
The
products of conception.
Right.
Like, you basically just have to remove it.
And is it a fetus? That got kicked out?
It can be, but in my case, it was a thing where I had everything in my body was like, you're pregnant. There was like a sac. There was like urine lining was like thickened, everything, but there was nothing there.
Oh.
So it was like,
interesting.
I call it a ghost baby, but
it wasn't
some people think that that's sensitive.
But it's your ghost
it's
baby.
It's my fucking ghost baby.
Yeah, so. You call your ghost baby whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah, so like basically you can get these procedures where they're basically like, you can get the procedure or you can just let your body do it now. Naturally, but if your body does it naturally, you like don't know how long it's gonna last. It could hit at any time.
And do it naturally is like getting like that sack out of you.
It would just, you would start bleeding basically.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so like, but do I want to bleed for 4 weeks not knowing when? Like,
yeah,
like, you know, like, so I was just like, I'll do the procedure, get everything set. And then honestly, I got pregnant like a month later with the one I have now that is very far along and I think is going to work out. So, but like the whole process of like trying is like, I think a lot of people are really funny where they're like, oh, we're just like, we pulled the goalie and we're just going to like see what happens. And I'm like, you can literally only get pregnant for like 36 hours out of the month.
I was going to say,
it's maybe if you're like 20,
you're
like super fertile and your window is like 5 days. But like when you're in your 30s, it's a lot shorter. So I was using an app for a little while and the app I realized like it's not accurate. And if it's off by a day, you're off, you know? So I actually just started like peeing on the ovulation sticks. And I think those are the best way. And I like tell all my friends that are trying like in earnest, I'm like, you got to pee on those sticks during your window. And like when you get that smiley face, it's go time.
It just winks at you. Or it's like a picture of a dick.
It's like,
get on it.
Yeah.
Girl.
And then you like basically tell your partner, you're like, I just would tell my husband, like, okay, we have to have sex right now. And he'd be like, I don't really like work like that. I'm like, I don't
put your balls in my mouth.
Let's
go.
Like, yeah. So
interesting.
You gotta like romance your partner a little bit.
Yeah. Sometimes women, as a woman, I forget, like, oh, I gotta do some work. I gotta arouse you. I gotta tease you.
He's like, I'm not just like here for your amusement. He gets real sensitive.
I feel like when trying to conceive is the one time where the woman tradition in a straight relationship anyway traditionally acts more like the man
because like I'm the one keeping track of the stuff, he's not like tracking it, you
right.
know, like
so
it was it was planned, but you can't account for these other things that come up. So I guess I would tell people like, I don't know, like kind of decide when you're gonna try and like actually try rather than like the whole we'll see what happens. Because then I've had some friends that are like, well, we did the we'll see what happens for like 2 years and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's because like it's really more scientific. Like you really have to like nail down those 36 hour windows.
Fuck. Yeah, because I think especially like you know, a lot of people are now having kids in their 30s when you know, a couple decades ago it was people in their 20s.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, because I just don't remember, like, certainly like when I was growing up or when my mom had my brother or any of my mom's friends, I don't remember it being like so tough. And if it is tough, it was more of like a story.
Right.
Whereas nowadays, like, everyone's like,
sorry, trying
for like a long time.
Right.
To have kids. Because like, I wouldn't even like, I didn't even know an ovulation stick was a thing. Obviously, I know about the tracker. But was this stuff that you just knew, or when you started to talk about having a baby, like, you got books, you went online? Because I feel like I'm 33 years old and I don't know jack shit.
Well, I had heard about, like, I knew about the tracker, but I did look a couple of things up online, and like, it's just stuff about, like, it's better for, like, the woman to be on the bottom. Like, I just told a friend that the other day who's trying. And I was like, it's better for you to do missionary on the bottom because, I mean, just, it's physics.
It makes sense.
You know, like, don't make the sperm work for it. Like, don't make them climb Mount Everest. Like, so it's just, there's, like, a couple things I looked up online. And then I was just using the app because, yeah, somebody told me about an app. And I, oh, my God, you guys, these apps are, like, so sad. Some of them, like, they have community forums. Oh. And they're the, oh,
what do they talk about?
They're like sad women with no friends. And they're like,
oh, really?
I just walked in on my husband cheating on me.
Oh, my God. And that's like, where they share that?
Yeah. And I'm like, don't you have any, like, or they'll be like, this is my wedding dress. Just wanted to share it with 2,000 strangers on an ovulation app. Like, why is that who's seeing your wedding dress?
The internet's making us so much more lonely.
I know. And, like, it would be like, people, I mean, sometimes we're like people sharing, like, you know, their pregnancy tests. Like, they're like, we've been trying for 2 years and here's our positive result. And like, that's very cute. And like,
that's,
I guess, whatever.
On the app.
Yeah, they're trying to, yeah, tell the people.
But
like,
if I was having a hard time, I'd be like, I'm so happy for you, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like, oh, God, the app was harrowing. I never went to the community tab after the first time. But but then a friend told me, a friend was like, well, are you using the sticks? And I was like, oh, what? Like, and then I started using those because that's why, like, I try to tell people about them. You can get really cheap ones and you can get, like, more expensive electronic ones, like with the smiley face, and, like, depends on what your budget is. But they
do the same thing.
Yeah, they basically do the same thing, and they, like, tell you, like, you have this hormone this day, and, like, this is what you need.
One's more Instagram friendly.
Yeah, the smiley face is obviously, like, cuter.
You don't want to let your friends know you're poor, so you have to get the electric.
Yeah, get the electronic, but they are, like, expensive. Like,
how much are they?
It's like $40 probably for, like, the thing, and then it has 10 tests in it.
10 tests. And so, how often would you do this kind of around
just
when
the time when you think you're ovulating? Like, those, like, three, like, the few days before. So, like, don't do it every day of the month. Like, you're not ovulating, obviously.
And then,
like,
if it's a smiley face, that's go time.
Yeah. Exactly. Fuck. That's pants down.
What was the situation where Jerry was the farthest away from being aroused when it was go time on a stick for you?
There was just a time where he was just like, I just can't do it like this. Like, I can't just, like, have you read this little smiley face and, like, tell me that I have to go right now. And I was like, okay. Like, I think I was stressing him out because I was like, come on, let's go. Like come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and so just that.
Were you, like, saving up sexes, though? Because you're like, oh, we're going to have sex at certain times this month. So
he loves to have sex. Like, we were definitely doing it around ovulation time multiple times. But sometimes I would be like, I would be like, I'd really like to do it twice today, and he'd be like, I mean, okay, let's see what happens. Like, you know, so, like, I was maybe pushing him a little bit, but, and you know what, I get results.
Yeah, you did. Figured it out.
Oh, God.
How old are you currently?
How old am I? I'm 70. No, I am.
You look great.
I'm 38.
The reason I ask that is my nephew's mom is in her mid to late 30s, and the doctors said that she was like, "What the fuck?" They labeled her pregnancy a geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that language should be changed.
I am of advanced maternal age, and I am having a geriatric pregnancy as my next one.
And so the doctors use those words.
I mean. Yeah, it doesn't really change anything about, like, your there's a few more tests that they'll run for like genetic abnormalities and stuff like that, but it really, I have not felt any differently than I think, like, a 25-year-old feels.
And did you have any response to that word? Because I remember when Alana had told me about it, I'm like, what the f-? I got pissed for her. I don't know why.
I think,
but
it's
like,
35 and above.
Yeah, 35, it is, because Christine Meehan's was too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you have any feelings towards it being labeled? Or you
I think it's, like, so stupid, but it didn't, like, like the you first like time I heard it was obviously way before I was pregnant. I was like, I can't believe they call it that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, now I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like ridiculous.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah, geriatric like truly makes it sound like I'm 90.
Yeah, and like Queen like, Elizabeth is
Janet
pregnant.
Jackson is like had a baby when she was 50. Like, oh, wow. Everyone's yeah. fine. Like,
so cool.
Well, yeah, because I think they're, I mean, they're not like trying to make you feel older. They're just talking about like in the lifespan of someone who is of childbearing right. age, you are at the older end. But I mean, I think also sometimes we forget like in our feminist lifestyles, like science is science. And like until it improves, like if you want to have a baby, you got to make moves by like 40.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's yeah, nothing exactly.
you can do about it. And Janet Jackson, I mean, like when you have.
She probably had. Like exactly mm-hmm. like who knows if that was even like that might have been like a super in vitro situation.
Yeah, it's like blowing it out with one of those like computer keyboard cleaners. Yeah. Like it's very there's something going on up there. It's yeah. iced.
Like, yeah, like my mom started having us when she was 33, which was pretty old for that time.
Yeah.
And she had six kids.
Yeah.
So
oh
like
my
she
gosh.
Had my brother twin brothers when she was 40. So I feel like genetically I always thought I can wait a little bit. Like
yeah.
I knew I could wait a little. And you know, I have friends that had their first babies before their first year wedding anniversary. You know, like they
yeah,
like sure. got on it immediately. That wasn't like what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think I'm gonna have more than one probably, and I think I'll be fine.
I also feel like I cannot believe the difference between myself, my self-esteem, and how much I know and how much calmer I am as a person between even 28 and 30 now.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Like, I would be so put together. I've always said to myself I wanted to have kids by, like, 35, 36, because, mm-hmm. like, I would be such a calmer person. I wouldn't be
yeah,
worried about everything. And
totally.
I feel like you would crave a something more in your marriage, your life, your...
Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
Well, my husband like talks all the time about his mom and like how he was raised. And I'm like, Jared, can you keep in mind that your mom had you when she was 22?
Yeah.
So like,
oh, wow,
imagine
yeah.
if you were our age right now and you had a 16-year-old. Like, that's like what it would be. Like, you yeah. know, we're still like partying. We're still fun. You know, like she had to like give up a lot. And it's just like, but I agree. Like, not that she did a bad job at all. She did a wonderful job. But like, I just think... having kids later. I tell everyone to do everything later. I'm like, don't get married till you're 30.
Yeah.
Don't have kids till
yeah,
you're
we
later.
Do too. Like, we're like, yeah, getting married in your 20s.
I tell everyone to wait.
If you want to marry that person so bad, wait.
My brother just got married at 27 a couple years ago. And I was like, oh, so you're like babies getting married.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy how quick
and it's like
changed.
100 years ago, 27, you would just be a grandparent or something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
you'd be on the last leg.
Yeah,
you'd
be like thinking about retirement, Martha. Like, it's really crazy. But yeah, I tell everyone, like, wait on all that shit. Like, you're right. Like, you're just so much more chilled out. You know who you are. You know the things you want. Like,
did you always know you wanted to get married and have kids? Or
I always knew I wanted to have kids. I never really cared about getting married.
Interesting.
I told my husband, I was like, he was like, well, so what's our plan? He was very always interested in a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when would I propose to you? And when would we get married? And when would we have? And I was like, look, I don't really care if we get married. I was like, I'm down to do the Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell thing if you
yeah.
want. I just do want to have kids. And he was like, well, I think if we have kids, we should get married. And I was like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so fine. If it's like, important to you.
Yeah. And I had our wedding was a blast and I love being married and like, that's fine. But if it hadn't happened for me and I just had him like a partner, I would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like the actual white wedding and all that shit was never yeah. like in my mind.
Because it's just, it's interesting because I feel like there are so few female comedians with like traditional lifestyles and sometimes
yes.
it's like I never even wanted it, but then like it does make me sad because I'm like, why do we have to live such a fucked up lifestyle? Why can't we do anything normal? Because being a comedian is so abnormal to begin with. You
I know?
Know
even having a baby I was like, who are my role models for this?
Right.
Like Ali Wong.
Ali Wong,
everyone's like, oh, you could do the Ali Wong thing. I go, do you get that she's already done it?
Yeah, Ali Wong's done it twice.
I'm not gonna get a Netflix.
And she did it well.
Like, Ali Wong killed it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, hey, do you guys need more pregnant specials?
Wait, what if you did a special while you were in labor?
Oh, damn, girl.
Just saying.
Fuck, I need a new manager. It's you. No, like, so I was like thinking about that. And I actually had a friend who's another female comedian, and she was just like, fuck it. I mean, like, we don't have role models for so many things. Just like, do what you want to do.
Pay your way, baby.
You know, like, that was when I was thinking about getting pregnant. I was like, but like, I still want some more things to happen in my career. And what if it, like, I don't want, I mean, honestly, I haven't announced on social media that I'm pregnant. I just tell people face to face. I talk about it on stage.
That's cool.
But I'm not being super public about it because, like, I don't want people to put me in this box of like, she's pregnant and not work and like, not available. Because, like,
yeah.
like, I'm a veil.
Smart. Very like, smart.
I want to work. I want to do stuff. I want to get writing jobs and performing stuff. And like, I just don't want people, because I do think people kind of do that sometimes. They're like, oh, well, she had her kids and she kind of went. Whereas like never with a male comedian. They're not like, oh, Tom Segura has a couple kids now.
Next night.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Segura has kids now. Oh, he's not performing.
Seth Herzog was like, my twins were just born, but he's having his birthday party.
Oh, he had a birthday party the day after. Yeah. We're like, where's your wife? She's like, oh, in the hospital.
With the twins.
That's amazing.
With the twins.
I know. I just emailed him about his twins. His birthday party I went to, was one of the things I went to right before I moved to LA. And I saw so many famous people. And I was like,
what? Was it this past year?
No, it was in 2016, I think.
Oh, okay. I feel like I went to that year.
Because, yeah, I moved like the very beginning of January. So I think it was 2016. Yeah, of 2016. And I was like, I've lived in New York for 11 years and I never saw famous people really. And like, he's
they
got
all hang
like
out with Seth Herzog.
Donald Glover's at this party. Bill Murray. Like, it was so weird.
God.
Yeah. He did a joint with Brooke Van Poplin and it was at Sid's Gold.
Yeah. He always
and
has
it was
it
like
there.
Karaoke with like a live piano Shit. Player. It was great. I sang a song. It was so fun.
Oh my gosh. You do have the energy of, I don't want to say a regular person, but a non-pregnant person. Cause even when you walked in a lot of times I would fully expect to feel that way. Like people walk in real slow, sweating, a lot going on.
Yeah. I am very hot.
In full energy.
You're more energized than I am.
I actually really weirdly feel very energetic during this pregnancy and I don't know I don't know why.
You're having a good old time.
Yeah. I don't know why. And I'm not going to say like, I love being pregnant. I'm just one of those girls. I love being pregnant. I love everything about it. I just feel so connected to my body.
But if you do love it.
I feel great. I just don't.
Awesome.
I mean, I don't love how my boobs are enormous and have like veins in them now, and like my abdomen is separating. But like,
oh boy,
and I'm sure I'm like not gonna love my vagina after this whole thing goes down. But like, the way I feel right now during my second and third trimester, I felt very good. So I'm just like,
do you think you're gonna hate your vagina afterwards?
I don't know.
Yeah,
who's to say?
I thought whenever I think about having kids, I always thought I was gonna, but I don't know. But I read
something that the vag rejuvenation is so painful. I've read that it's more painful than childbirth.
Wait, what is the rejuvenation?
You know, like what like the Real Housewives do and stuff. I think it's like
a facelift for your
pussy. It might be like laser.
Yeah,
I read somewhere in a book that this woman did it and was like it was more painful than when I gave birth to my kids.
Oh my
I'm like, do you just keep it?
It's a very sensitive area.
Yeah.
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 Wow. I'm also fascinated by the way the public men and women treat pregnant women. I watched a while ago, The Business of Being Born. And
is that the Ricky Lake?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just everybody telling, like, just judging women and assuming they don't know what they're doing. Not, obviously not everybody. But I saw this video on Instagram the other day. Kelly Rowland posted it. It was a dancer doing a choreographed dance, like a hip hop dance to one of her songs. And this woman was pregnant. And she was like all over the place. And I've seen pregnant women, like bodybuilders. Where
they're like running marathons and doing CrossFit
and
shit.
And they're like 8 months pregnant and you barely see a bump.
Yeah.
And it's still healthy. So I'm curious if you felt or have gotten directly anybody putting anything on you of like you should do this or.
Well, my, like sometimes my husband honestly is a little bit like, let me lift that. And I'm like, I can lift stuff. I'm not like lifting, you know, heavy machinery, but like, I don't like being babied like at all. So that's a little bit tough.
Did the doctor tell you don't lift?
No, I mean, the doctor, like he came to the doctor with me because he wanted to ask her questions and he like wasn't believing the things I was telling him.
Oh, wonderful.
So I was like, oh, this feels good. This feels doesn't feel like you're undermining me at all. but he like came with me to like, because he's very nervous about, I just recently started having an occasional glass of wine, which everybody has told me is fine.
Yeah.
He came to the doctor to like get confirmation from the doctor about that because that makes him extremely nervous. In fact, I don't do it in front of him now. Like now I have to do it away from him. He has anxieties and like if it's gonna make him feel better, I just won't. And honestly, I'm having maybe a glass of wine a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, and I'm half the time I give up halfway through because it gives me heartburn. So it's like, it's not, I'm not partying,
right,
you know?
Right.
And, and then with the lifting of weights and stuff, because we're moving in a couple of weeks, we're moving places in LA and I'm going to be like, you know, packing us up and stuff. And he was like, how heavy can she like lift? And I just am like, I know my body, like I know what I can do. Like I'm not going to, you know, do anything that's wrong. And that's just like his anxiety. And we're working through that. I wouldn't say, I mean, most of the time when like my mom's friends and older women are like giving me advice and annoying women like just coming up to me and being like, don't get induced. And when they're born, you got to leave them on, you got to leave the vacuum on so that they get used to loud noises. Like, people just like throw advice at you all the time. And you're just like,
what worked for you might not work.
I have so many friends that have kids. Like, I'll get advice from people that I like trust and know. I met you 5 minutes ago. I don't need your advice.
Yeah, and there's,
you know?
Like, there's like just aisles of books.
Exactly.
About like, it.
And the internet. Experts. I mean, yeah. The internet can be overwhelming because like when I was, so when I was in my first trimester, I actually felt pretty sick. I never threw up, but I just didn't. You have like, you feel hungover for like 6 weeks.
Ooh.
And it sucks. Like, and I was like, scouring the internet for any article that would tell me it was okay to smoke a little bit of weed. I was just like, I just want an article from one reputable source that's like, actually studies have found.
Yeah.
And there isn't one. You can find an article that supports anything you want on the internet. Like, true. I'm sure I could find an article that was like, they a study in Guadalajara says tequila once a day helps a baby get better SAT scores. Like, yeah. You know, like it's really, but I ended up not finding anything reputable, so I didn't do it. But I have had plenty of friends that tell me that they've smoked a little weed during their pregnancy.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody is just like, it's such a fraught topic. Everybody's so sensitive about it. And like,
everybody comes to the table with a lot of people come to the table with a strong opinion about it, whether they've been through it or not. And I always found that very interesting.
Yeah. Like I have friends that got off their antidepressants while they were pregnant and then just smoked weed instead. Mm. And like, what, like the argument, like what's the argument there? Like, is she better off because she's not on all these antidepressants? But like, how is weed affecting the baby? I mean, we don't know. The kid is super smart and fine now and beautiful. Like, so I think everything's fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not a medical study. Like, I don't know.
I wouldn't
advise that.
My mother's biological mother drank, I believe, pretty heavily when she was pregnant with my mom, and smoked a lot of cigarettes. And my mom,
yeah,
she has depression. She has neurological issues, so that's not great. But she's not. She's functioning adult.
Right, right. Yeah.
Are so you not allowed to take antidepressants, or is that the person's personal choice?
I think that you can. Mm-hmm. I think maybe she was on a lot of them. I don't actually know like the stories. I think you can. Like,
okay.
I maybe they dose you down. I don't know. Maybe there's certain ones you shouldn't take. Like, I don't know. But that was just like a choice my friend made.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Huh. Do you guys have sex?
Yeah.
Like currently?
Yeah.
And how is it?
It's the same. It's fine.
Your vagina feels the same right now.
Yeah, my vagina feels the exact same.
It's not like swollen or it. Like,
no.
Obviously, there's nothing going through it, but like, you know, you have it in your uterus.
I mean, I can't see it, but I'm assuming everything's okay.
Okay, but it doesn't feel like any different when he puts
his dick in. No, it doesn't feel. Well, you know, and a lot of people say that pregnant women are hornier, but I haven't really felt more horny or anything.
Just like same amount of horny.
It's like the same amount of horny as regular. Like, we have sex, and I've only recently gotten like a little, only in the last like month or two have I gotten bigger. So like, we'll see how it goes when like I'm massive and like, you know, we're trying to do it. But, you know, so far so good. It's been pretty good.
Yeah, because I was like, yeah, I was like, that's another thing. Because I was like thinking like, what's 6.5? I was like, you don't really look that big. It's amazing.
I think it's because I'm tall also.
You are
like,
tall,
I'm tall,
yeah.
And I'm like a substantially sized person. Like my skinny, like little mini friends look massive. Like they just have like, you know, this big ass bump in front of them. And I just kind of look like maybe I went a little overboard at Christmas.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. So I was like, I'm going to go backwards now to your other things that you were told me about. So you lost your virginity when you were...
Oh my God, so late, when, you guys. It's
so funny because so many people are like, oh, it was so late. And then they tell you how old they were. And we're like, oh, that's not really that late.
I didn't lose my virginity until I was 22. And it's just really surprising because I went to such a like hard party in college. Like, and I just was like bombed all the time. And I hooked up a lot. But I think I always just like had my mom's in my ear being like,
don't get
don't have sex. Well, don't get AIDS. I guess I thought by then I was like probably not going to get AIDS, but I was like,
you never know. Like,
I was like don't have sex until you're married. And I was like, I knew that probably wasn't obviously viable, but I was like, I do not want to just like lose it on a one nighter or something, which is like honestly kind of how it ended up, but a little bit more special than that. And I was happy with how that went. It was fine. But, yeah, it's just surprising to me that like I lasted all through college, and then on my 22nd birthday,
did you like get fingered or?
Oh yeah, I like hooked up and did all the other stuff.
Now, would you have orgasms with guys, or would you just masturbate for that stuff? Because I feel like it took me a very long time to actually come with a guy.
No, yeah, I wouldn't, not, like, that wouldn't happen. I would just, like, fool around with guys and be like, this is fun, but, like, yeah, never.
So would they go down on you and stuff? Like, you would just do all the other stuff except sex?
Just, like, all the other stuff. Yeah.
And so your
That's good practice.
first sexual experience, 22, you've graduated from college. Who is it with?
So it was with this guy who, I studied abroad in Italy. Like, I studied abroad in Rome with my college's, like, Rome campus. And I was so obsessed with it that I went my junior fall. And then I had all these friends who went my junior spring. So I went to visit them my junior spring because I was like, I got to go back. I love it so much there. So when I was visiting there, another friend had a guy visiting, like, a friend. This guy was visiting his friends on the program. So we were both in town visiting in Rome, had this, like, kind of whirlwind, like, fun hookup week or whatever. And then didn't really... And then saw each other again in college, like, made out, hooked up again, didn't have sex. And then on my birthday, so it was like the third time or something.
That's fun.
I had hooked up with him and I, like, lost my virginity to him. I was like, it's just time to get this over with.
Yeah, and you felt comfortable with him.
Yeah, and then, but then after that, it was like he lived in Boston, I lived in New York. It was like it didn't really go.
Okay, so he was not from another part of Italy joining.
No, he was an American.
Okay.
Yeah, and he actually, I told you this, like he looked like John Cusack, and people have, like, a lot of people have told me that I look like Joan Cusack. And so I was like, did I fuck my brother? I mean, like, did I lose my virginity to my brother?
Do I have a brother?
The question is, do any of your brothers look like John Cusack?
They don't.
Okay,
they don't.
That's good.
They
then you don't. Should feel better.
But I do think John and Joan look. And then some people tell me I don't really look like Joan Cusack.
I can see it. Yeah.
And people say that. That's just like, I don't get a lot of good celebrity comparisons, but, like, that's kind of one of the only ones I've gotten.
Yeah, she's cool. I like her, though. Yeah,
she's cool.
I think that's Joan. A good.
She's
I like
classic
that.
Comedy lady of the 80s and 90s.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Was it good with Boston guy?
It was like, okay, I was like, this is it. Like,
it was it his first time?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's interesting that you had hooked up then two times prior. And do you ever remember him, like, trying to have sex with you? Or?
I don't think so. Like, yeah. I think he was like, okay.
Patience is very sexy.
Yeah.
When they're willing to wait and they're willing
to
respect.
And then I told him,
ones.
I was like, this is my first time. And he was like, are you sure? Like, it was very, way pre-me too consent. Like,
wow.
He was very asking for consent. Enthusiastic consent for sure.
Good for him.
And then after that, did you just keep having sex like a crazy lady? Was it like, were you unleashed?
I mean, okay. So then after that, I was like living in New York. I was young and like I just did have like a bunch of like one night stands with people. And I one time had to take Plan B with some like random guy that I think, I want to say the condom broke, but I also want to say he said he didn't have one. And I was like, who cares? Like, I think I was just like, I was just like fucked up and horny and was like, let's do it. But besides that, I wasn't really that reckless. Like, it was always like pretty much condoms. And like, I would hook up with people I knew, but also people I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I hooked up with a professional poker player one time. He like lured me back to his apartment because he said he had a puppy. Guys, I don't even love dogs.
Wait. The professional poker player lured you in by singing a puppy?
He
doesn't even relate
to
his job.
I have a brand new,
I would
his.
Have been there.
Yeah, yeah. Corinne. It wasn't
show
even
me picture first.
His dog. It was, he was watching a friend's dog and it was a brand new, like, one of those baby puppies, like a beanie baby size. Yes.
Oh my god.
And I was like, I don't even care for dogs that much. I like them fine, but I don't have one. I'm never gonna have one.
Right.
I'm not a huge dog person. I think it was just like, oh, like, I might hook up and there's a puppy. Cool. Like, this sounds like a good deal.
It's a winning combo.
Yeah. So like, I definitely,
so you got to see the puppy.
Yeah, we want
to
know more about the puppy.
Well, here's the thing, the puppy kind of ruined the whole thing because
he was like,
we were hooking up and the puppy was whining a lot.
I was like, new puppy's gonna be crying,
like freaking out. And so the guy was like, I'm really like distracted by the puppy. And I was like, I'm gonna go.
The thing that I got to lure you in is also the thing that's making you leave.
You know what?
But it's also, it's weird that it's not his puppy, because who would leave a puppy that new with
so
some
with
new.
A poker player?
With his, it was like his friend.
Yeah, because I mean, like, when you first get a puppy, like, a lot of times they have to stay with their mom for a while. And then you really can't leave it alone for more than like 4 hours. Because I mean, I just got done raising a puppy.
Really?
Yeah, and like, I mean, it's like four hours, Matt. I mean,
that might have been how long he was out at the bar, like, picking up random girls. And then he was like, I got to get back. Do you want to come? I got to get to this puppy.
Yeah.
Right. And it was this tiny, tiny little, like, it literally looked like a beanie baby. It was so little.
Yeah, like, year one, you can't fuck if you have a puppy. Because, or you have to figure out, like,
something. We were in another room. We weren't, like, doing anything in front of the puppy. But, like,
well, that's nice.
The puppy could sense that he was being ignored.
Oh, well, yeah, the puppy, like, just going to cry outside the door.
They knew, the puppy knew you were in the home.
Yeah.
And not paying attention to it.
Oh man.
Wow. So, yeah. So I definitely like hooked up around New York a bunch, and
being single and young in New York is a treat.
Yeah. I would hook up with sometimes with people I worked with and stuff too.
Because when you moved to New York, you were already doing comedy, or did that not start
until
later?
So when I moved to New York, I was in the NBC Page program at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I applied for that. That's a prestigious program.
It was fun. But all the guys in that are gay, pretty much. Well, when I did it, and I love them. No, actually, that's not true. Like, a handful of the guys were, like, straight guys with, like, their girlfriends back home. And then there were, like, a bunch of gay guys that were, like, my best friends. And so, like, there was not a lot of hanky-panky going on, like, in the program for me. And that is 6 hours. That's 6 days a week. Like,
they work
a lot
you.
Of hours. Like, so I wasn't really, I didn't have, like, a ton of time.
And the outfits aren't, like, the hottest.
Yeah. Oh, please. They used to be from Casual Corner, the store Casual Corner.
NBC.
And I'm, like, I'm 5'9", and I, like, somehow got a petite dress because I just, like, wanted mine to be a little bit shorter. Because the rest of them, the girls wore them, like, down below their knees, and I was like, fuck that. So I wore my size, but in petite, so it went, like, through 4 inches.
You had a hot little miniskirt.
Nice.
And, like, you were the hottest. It's, like, a blazer with, like, navy tights and, like, navy shoes from Payless. It was a garbage.
You look
outfit.
Like part of Scientology.
Yeah.
Like in a ceremony in Scientology.
Yes.
That's
now
what NBC Page is.
They did a whole thing like a few years ago where Brooks Brothers like won the contract to like dress the pages. So now they wear like, and they can wear pants now. Not an option when I did it. Mm. I feel like I'm like an old suffragette. Like in my day, we had to wear skirts. But like now the girls can wear like gray slacks if they want.
Yeah, because on a cold day, like it's nice to be able to put on pants if you want.
I still kind of feel like the dress is more comfortable, but they have the option of the pants or the dress now, and
that's good.
They went gray for a little while, but now I think they're back to navy. It's all things. So anyway, I did that at the very beginning, and then I worked in like television, like in production and kind of like development and stuff. Ooh. And I didn't start stand up till 08.
Okay.
So I'm like about 10 years, I'm a little over 10 years in, and I started doing improv. Mm. I'm one of those.
Me too. I'm one of those.
Yeah. Like 04, I started taking UCB classes like while I was in the Page program. And so I was doing that. And people were like, you should do stand up. And I was like, why would I want to repeat the same jokes over and over again when I can make magical improv happen? That's one time only. And then I was like, oh, this doesn't get you anywhere.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, it does. There's a lot of very famous improvisers. Stand up, when I started doing stand up, I did them concurrently for a little bit and was like, oh my God, like the returns on stand up are so quick. And like when you fuck up, it's all on you. When you do well, it's all on you. Whereas like you're on these teams in improv, and it's my friends when I switched were like, we're really happy that you moved to stand up. Like we were sick of coming to improv shows. Like they were like, we always
I thought you meant your friends who improvise with you. They were like,
oh,
thank God we got this.
No. My friends that I would like beg to come to my improv shows were like, we always liked watching you, but like sometimes in improv it takes a really long time to get to the funny, whereas in stand up, if it's taking a long time, it's usually not happening.
Bad stand up is oftentimes at least kind of interesting to watch somebody like
and
not do well.
Totally.
Bad improv makes you want to kill yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes with bad stand up, you're like, that's like a pretty good premise. Like someone better could make that into something good.
Right.
You know, you're kind of like, okay, I see your point. I'm not laughing, but yeah.
Like it could be an interesting, like almost like a TED talk. Like,
sure.
I like the way you see that thing.
Exactly.
Oh my God. I mean, I don't even know if I've ever enjoyed an improv show. I can't even think of one.
I used to go to Ask Cat. Those are the pros.
And those, like, they were like, they were the pros, but they're also like no rules. And like when you start taking the classes, they say that the whole thing of it is don't think, but there's a lot of rules.
Yeah.
And
so many rules.
When you watch these famous people getting up during Ask Cat and they're also fucking throwing the rules out the window and just having fun, you're like, that's what you should be teaching people.
Yeah, like, and there were some like larger, like the Stepfathers or like TJ and Dave,
totally.
Which is the two person improv is kind of a lot different structure. There was a couple ones that were okay.
Yeah, I used to intern at the UCB, so I got most of my classes for free, which another reason.
Was that a fuck fest at UCB? Because I heard
Because here was the thing, like I'd already been like, I grew up like an hour outside of New York, so I had a lot of college friends and some high school friends in the city, and I wasn't relying on the UCB as my like social life.
Okay. Mm.
So I think the people that were, they had those big parties that were like sweat. I would go to some of those and feel really out, like
McSwiggins or whatever.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, I know what you're saying.
Wait, is that what's the
one with the hot dogs? Is our bar now. It's a something.
It just shut.
Yeah. It's McManus.
McManus Cafe. Yeah. Wait, Peter McManus. Wait, it shut down?
Yeah, that's been
closed
for a while.
Yeah. Wow. But that was like, so I didn't really feel super accepted in that world, especially because it was like, you know, there was like the hierarchy of like who's on a Herald team. Later, I was on a mod team. I was on one of the sketch teams. I was an actor on the mod teams. And by then, I felt, that was in like 2013, 2014. I felt really like part of the UCB community by then. But when I was like pre-marriage, younger, single, I went to those parties and I was like, this is like weird. It's dark. Mm-hmm. I don't know everyone.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to kiss clicky. Up to people that are on Herald teams and yeah. I don't know who like the important people are.
I like the dynamics in the stand-up comedy world in New yeah. York City a lot.
Yeah.
Because even if everyone is not happy for everybody's success, it's at least like, you know, you already feel alone.
It's a little bit more every man for himself. So yeah, like you can have nice. A good conversation with people. It's not like my group. It's I don't know.
Yeah.
I was in some fun like little improv teams, but I was never like, this is my social life, you know. But yeah, I interned and like Stepfathers were so good. Death by Ruru. There were some like really really good teams. Oh yeah,
Death by Ruru. Wow.
So there's some good improv out there. But
that's when I was in love with Neil Casey.
Oh,
I used to have the biggest crush on him because he was the funniest person I ever saw.
Oh, I'm friends with him in LA. I have dinner with him and his wife sometimes.
Yeah, like years and years and years ago.
Oh, I didn't know
ago.
He was married. Wow.
He is married. He's so funny. His wife is a pretty funny stand-up. Her name's Meredith.
Nice.
Casey. She goes by Meredith Casey now.
That's awesome. He's so fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so did you date any other comedians before the comedian Jared you married?
No.
Really?
Okay, so when I started comedy, I did Bringers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, my first show was a Bringer.
Yeah, like,
me too.
So I did Bringers for a few months. And so another guy who was actually really cute and funny did Bringers with, and he and I hooked up once. He does not do it anymore. I don't even know if I remember his last. I do know his last name. He's like not worth mentioning. He doesn't do it anymore.
Waste of space.
He didn't really. And he was funny, but he just stopped doing it. I think
a you lot gotta of have
Bringers like attract and people that are doing it so much on the side as like a hobby a lot. I was doing it. And the woman who ran the Bringers was like, you're good. You can come start doing some of my shows without bringing. And that was when I was like, oh, wait, Bringers are a scam. Like, but yeah. It took me like 6 months to figure it out. And like people would book me for their shows and I'd be like, okay, how many people do I have to bring? And they'd be like, zero.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
Like, are you sure?
I've been getting duped.
Like, yeah.
So, and then when my husband and I, when Jared and I were hooking up, but he wasn't like calling me, I hooked up with another comedian to like make him mad.
But he wasn't did it work? Calling
did it work?
Me.
Yeah.
It worked? How did you find out you were hooking up with
someone
other
told him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're like, just as planned.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the only, those are the only two other comics I've ever hooked up with.
That's
and those were both
funny.
Like one night things.
So you knew that that was going to work to reel him in to be like, what are we?
Well, kind of. I kind of also liked this other comedian. Like I'd kind of been like attracted to this other comedian and I was like,
which
I was
one
like,
is it gonna be,
you're
fellas?
Like not calling me and like I guess we're not, I guess this isn't happening. Like we had a thing at the beginning where we like made out at a party, then hung out the next night.
So
then,
in public. So
yeah,
that's like a
then didn't talk to him for 2 weeks. Then he didn't call me for 2 weeks. Then we hung out at like Sean Donnelly's birthday party or something. Yeah. Hooked up again and then like and then a third time it happened and I go, okay, see you in 2 weeks. Like cause it just
damn.
Kept happening.
Yeah.
And he was like, No, let's go out to dinner or whatever. And we like after three hookups, we finally went on like a real date.
Did he say why or is he just like
yes.
spacey? Like I'm a spacey
he
person.
He had like,
but.
He thought like he's a nerd. Like he's really into like role playing games like Dungeons and Dragons and Star Trek and shit like that.
Legit nerd.
And I'm not like that at all. And he just thought we would, he goes, I just don't know if we have enough in common. I'm like, we're both stand up comedians in New York City. That feels like a pretty good foundation. And he was like, yeah, he thought he should be dating a nerd girl.
See, but isn't it nice to date somebody with interests that you don't have so
yes,
you can learn about them?
Because totally.
The having the comedy in common is a very,
yeah.
I feel like that is a great setup.
And
they get your
like,
lifestyle.
You're not going to do everything with your partner ever. Like,
right.
He has
nor
these,
should you.
Yeah, he has these things where these guys come over and they play games for
Dungeon
6 hours and I go out and do something with my friends.
Somebody
you know?
Showed me their Dungeons and Dragons setup once and I was like, this is gorgeous. This is an elaborate
it's
world of an imagination
so elaborate.
That you get lost in.
I tell
good
people all the time, I'm like, I would 1,000 times over rather be married to a dork that plays Dungeons and Dragons than someone that's like won't talk to you for 4 days because the Patriots like lost the Super
yes.
Bowl.
Oh my God.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like the guys that are so fucking into sports, like that's considered my husband's like playing these games where they create these worlds and like go
yeah,
on adventures and use their brains
games.
And their imagination. I think that's like a lot cooler than like, look, I really sacked that guy hard
do
or whatever.
I know sometimes I imagine women play Dungeons and Dragons.
They
but
do.
Like,
he's got a girl in his group.
That's awesome. But do women have anything that's like a woman? You know, Dungeons and Dragons. I would associate more with men.
Yeah, it is definitely
or at least primarily. I don't think women have like I would like games where you get lost in your imagination.
No.
As an adult woman.
No, we don't.
That's lame.
I would say like my equivalent to it is like when my girlfriends come over and we watch like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And like,
yeah.
Cause that's like a full world.
That's a world of like, imagination. Yeah.
And like, then there's like Vanderpump Rules. There's like offshoot worlds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that's my garbage escapist shit that I watch. But yeah. Like, but
there's like knitting circles and stuff, but I mean,
yeah, and I'm in a book club. Like, I don't know.
Book, it's
like,
book clubs, that's great because then you could be in, you're intellectually stimulated.
Yeah.
Because I think that's when I learned
you're
about
not
Dungeons
like creating
and Dragons.
Anything per se the way that they are for Dungeons and Dragons, but yes, you are like having a talk that's not about
but like
life or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I think Dungeon, like, there's like, oh, you write a book for Dungeon, and you write an entire, like, a show Bible. You write that for
my
your
husband
fucking game.
is the Dungeon Master. That, so he is the real, the Sherpa that takes them through.
It's so elaborate.
It's really hot, you guys. Have you ever hooked up with a Dungeon Master?
I haven't, but
get into it.
I kind of think that's hot. Because it's a
it's
lot
like,
of work.
Honestly, at the beginning, I was like, I don't, what are you, I can't. Like, I just kind of was like, I don't know what you're talking about. You do your little thing. Yeah. And then like I played with him a couple times and was like, this is actually so fun. This is like choose your adventure. It's like really
fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. Fun. I mean, there's some of them that are more like dragony and like more like fantasy.
This one's
like
too dragony.
This one's like too dragony. No, but he did one with me once that was kind of just like you're in a city. I was in a city that was like a futuristic New York City, and we had to go into like the subway, old subways, and find this like mystery thing that was happening. So for me, it was more like a mystery, and I was like, ooh, what are we finding? And so he made that game up because he knew I would be more into it than like, and then you slay the sorcerer or whatever. Like, that's not
so
the
like you're curating the land and then you're making up your own rules.
It's a lot of work.
And goals? Or?
You don't make up your own rules. Like, you create a character. Your character has all these abilities.
Okay.
You have to like roll. The dice basically tell you what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do.
There has to be a board or a dice or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
The dice tell you, like, so you... Basically, my husband, Jared, will be like, I'm okay. You get to this door. There's a sign on the door. It's in this language. Let's say your character has come up with, has a language attribute in their, in the character sheet that you made up. He's like, if you get a 10 or above, you can read the sign. So you roll, you get a 12. Great. You can read the sign. You get a 7. You can't read the sign. What do you want to do now?
Wow.
So that's like an example of like a, that's an example of a move. And I'm like,
we should
the
make a
most
slutty,
elementary knowledge of this shit too.
We should do like Dungeons and Masters, like a kinky version.
A kinky, like
not one that has to do with sex.
We can think of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
gosh, yeah.
It's like a woman's world.
I'm kind of into it. I'm like, I want to play this now.
Yeah,
a lot of people, I tell them about it, and they're like, oh, I want to play. Like, yeah, he plays with like a few groups in LA.
Wow.
Yeah, he might be starting a podcast doing it too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That, I mean, and that would have a really, really built in following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of, I think there are some Dungeons and Dragons podcasts that exist, but they're not like with funny people. They're like with like hardcore nerds that are almost like,
well, we better get on it now that we're
like
talking about
bad social skill. I know. I'm like, sorry, Jared, I'm telling your idea. He's like, I don't know when this is coming out.
Well, this is Jared Logan's idea. So you guys
it's
can't.
It's copyrighted
can't
here.
Yeah. You guys can't. You heard it here first. It's coming. So also this is going to make him have to get started on it faster.
He's like doing a pitch at a network on Tuesday.
There you go.
Tomorrow.
There you go. It's pretty much almost done, guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's about it for us. Where can people see you? Anything else you want
to
say?
I would love to promote briefly.
Yes.
My debut stand-up album is available for pre-order right now on iTunes. It's called Undefeated. It's my first album. I'm really proud of it.
So funny. Definitely listen.
Thank you.
I haven't listened to the album yet, but you're just so funny.
Thank you.
You are fucking hilarious.
You can DL it or buy it or whatever. It should be available later in February, I think, but it's available for pre-order now, and that kind of helps me make a splash on the iTunes charts. So please pre-order. And then, I'm on Insta and Twitter and all that shit as Kara Klenk, KaraKlenk. And I perform mostly in LA now that I'm going to be, I'm in New York right now, but my travel days are kind of over.
We have lots of listeners in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So come out to LA. Oh, in LA, I have a show. You guys should do it when you come to town. Thursdays, it's the old Josh and Josh show. That show doesn't exist anymore. Now it's called Better Half Comedy. It's me and my husband, Jared, run the show.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's at Bar Lubitsch in West Hollywood. It's free. Oh. Every Thursday, it's great. We get good crowds and great comics. So come to that.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Thank you for having me in your adorable dojo here.
Thanks. This has been Guys, We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.